Over 100 years ago, on April 7th of 1868, reformed Irish radical and member of Parliament Thomas D'Arcy McGee was taking a stroll on Spark Street when he was shot down. Today on Why Ottawa, we will be discussing the how, who, when, where, and why of the assassination of D'Arcy McGee.
I've got Professor Randy Boswell on the line with me right now. And I want to start off by asking, since you are the expert, what in your opinion is the three things that someone who thinks D'Arcy McGee is just a pub should know about D'Arcy McGee?
Well, that's a kind of a fun way of framing, you know, a discussion about McGee. I should clarify, I'm not really the expert in McGee. I'm just a journalist with a fascination for good stories, and Thomas D'Arcy McGee is actually was a factory of good stories in terms of Canadian history. Let's just say a few different things. Even though he's best known for being assassinated, that's probably what has made him famous and a fixture in Canadian history. I think the first thing to recognize about McGee is that he had an unbelievably complicated and remarkable life. And so just his biography itself is an incredible narrative, given the fact that he started out life as a young man anyway, as an Irish independence revolutionary, and then became a leading spokesperson, really, for the idea of a Canadian Confederation under British rule, which was a real contradiction from what he was as a young man. So that's one thing that it's like an incredible life story that is rare in terms of its many weird highlights and journeys. I think touching on that other thing is we all think of the very controversial now John A. Macdonald as the spearhead of the Confederation movement. And that's true in terms of the political machinations that were being pursued in the 1860s to create Confederation. But Thomas D'Arcy McGee was the politician who was probably most persuasive and most influential in convincing people that this new Confederation represented a kind of new nationality for the world. And he was very visionary, I would say, about what this coming together of people would represent. It wasn't just a political structure, it was something more powerful than that in his mind. It was about bridging differences between peoples and creating something new on earth. And that was a very, you know, kind of persuasive idea at the time. We will look back at that era and Thomas D'Arcy McGee from a 21st century perspective, you know, and wonder now, what place did Indigenous people have in his vision? You know, what about people who weren't part of the, British, Irish, Catholic, Protestant world? And that's natural in modern times to look back and reflect critically on that history. But again, that is something we should remember McGee for, was that in his time, he was a great visionary about what the new nationalism could be in Canada. And I think the other thing that maybe is a surprise about Thomas D'Arcy McGee is what a voluminous, productive writer and poet he was throughout his life. I mean, he wrote histories, he wrote poetry, and perhaps most importantly, I guess from my perspective, he was a journalist, a very significant journalist in the 19th century who edited important newspapers in the Irish Catholic community particularly. And it's hard for us to imagine in the 21st century, but the real big divide in society in North America at that time in the 19th century was Protestant versus Catholic. And overcoming the divide between those peoples was vital for the Confederation project. It was vital, really, for the development of Canada in many ways. And McGee was at the center of that bridging effort. Ultimately, he alienated the radicals on the Irish side. And, you know, certainly that's what led to his assassination in 1868. So those are three, I guess, areas where people may not fully understand his influence and legacy.
And I love that, because what my podcast is really seeking to do is to look at the, the victim as more than just what ended their life, you know, what could have been, what was. But I have a little bit of a nerdy personal information question, because I'm wondering this when I read your article. You said that David Wilson quoted that professor, quoted this case as the only political assassination in Canadian history. But right away, the part of me that was taught Canadian history by my teacher in high school is telling me, well, what about the FLQ's murder of Quebec's labor minister, Pierre Laporte? You know, I don't think I've heard of a single Pierre Laporte pub. Is this because Darcy McGee was already kind of a prolific character while he was alive, and maybe people weren't as united behind Pierre? What's the difference?
Well, I think that statement is an overstatement, because I think if we look back in Canadian history, there's more violence and death than we previously acknowledged. It's true. We don't rank among other countries when it comes to political violence and murder. But on the other hand, we're only now reflecting on, the genocidal policies around Indian residential schools, and how does one interpret exactly what was going on there? There's a lot of reflection and rethinking to go into lots of areas of Canadian history, and I'm sure that touches on McGee as well. Why is there a pub in downtown Ottawa called, Darcy McGee's? I think that really has to do with the location and the myth and intrigue that has built up around the assassination event itself. One of the things that, the reason I kind of emphasize the other stuff about McGee's past is because his story has really become overwhelmed and enveloped by his assassination. It's probably nobody more famous for having died than McGee in Canada. And so I think the pub, because it is actually literally down the street from where the fatal bullet, murdered McGee, that's why there's a pub there. And that's why there's a sort of an aura surrounding this figure. There's no question that a political assassination is a mighty rare event in Canadian history. And so that's why that's why the Canadian Museum of History paid $100,000 plus to purchase the gun that is believed to have killed McGee, back in 2005. So it's a little bit morbid, but I think that is part of what makes the McGee mystique so powerful, is that it was a rarity in Canadian history, to be sure, that someone would be assassinated. And at the time, there was an enormous outpouring of, post-mortem affection for McGee, massive, massive crowds, both in Ottawa and Montreal, as his body was, moved toward burial. So, it was an event, and it was a very, very big one, landmark event, his death and the subsequent funeral.
It's interesting how tragedy plus time equals entertainment of some variety. Like, hopefully if one of us was shot, God forbid, they wouldn't be making a restaurant called, Alexis Bit in the Dust, because I'll come back and I'll haunt it. But...
Yeah, there was a lot of death-related fascination in the 19th century. Don't forget, people made death masks of people who died. Sculpted likenesses of their faces and their hands, and people were coming to grips with the idea of death in a way that would kind of creep us out in the 21st century. But the McGee story, I think what's really valuable about it is thinking about what he stood for as he was, reaching the end of his life. A lot of speculation exists about what impact he could have had in Canadian politics going forward. He died quite young, right? I mean, I just mentioned what a remarkable life he led, but he was dead before he was middle-aged. It's a figure that is worth investigating beyond the fascination around his death.
Yeah, I think that definitely there's a reason why his legacy is different than others. And the difference isn't just in how he died. Why? I think a lot of people like the idea of being so passionate about something that you go down for it and you're remembered for it. I think a lot of people want to live that kind of legacy. But what do you think, And this might be my final question because I'm going to have to try to fit this into my episode, but it's so interesting. Sure. Is, let's say they cryogenically froze his body and they woke him up today after nuking him in the microwave for 30 seconds. What would he say when he got onto Parliament Hill and saw what was going on?
You're not the first person to actually speculate along those lines. And the author you mentioned, David Wilson, I remember writing a story back in the day, maybe 10 years ago or something like that now, about, what McGee represented when it came to overcoming differences between people. That's really, I think, what stands out from a scholarly perspective about what he represented. And I remember at that time that the former BC Premier, Ujjal Dosanjh, also weighed in on that matter and just simply felt that McGee represented a kind of a higher moral vision for people who had every reason to hate each other. There's all kinds of dissension in the world between ethnocultural groups and religious groups. And certainly McGee was a product of that era and held those hatreds at one time. But by the end of his life, he seemed to be trying to push humanity towards some kind of setting aside of those differences. I'm sure from our perspective today, it was a very narrow kind of bridging of differences. But at the time, it was significant. And it was a model, if you could say, for the idea of kind of hands across divides. Bringing people together, seeing, putting something more powerful in front of people so that they could focus their energies and passions on that goal, as opposed to fighting and hating their fellow people. So that I think is probably what, he would probably still be, I think, I mean, this is the rosy way of looking at what he'd be saying today, is just, why are we still in a world where, we're talking on, June 8th or 9th, where a white nationalist is mowing down a family of Muslims on a street in London, Ontario. Why are we dealing with the fallout of the tragic deaths of children in a residential school? Why was there a court case yesterday resolved, because an Indigenous woman was walking down the street in Thunder Bay and somebody, flung, a trailer hitch at her? These are real acts of hatred and negligence and so forth that are happening right in front of us in the 21st century. Or their legacies are being discovered in the 21st century. And, and Thomas D'Arcy McGee would probably be sickened by these things. I mean, one hopes. And I think that certainly his life and his passion at the end of his life for the idea of a new nationalism in Canada, probably heralded this idea of togetherness and unity over division.
I definitely think that unity is a good word for it. You know, whether it's over drinks or over his memory, I think he's brought a lot of people together. Thank you so much for agreeing to be on the show today.
Okay, thanks, Alexa.
Thank you so much.